we're going to have some announcements.
Thank you, Paul. We are happy to have our brother Diego Mendieta as our speaker this morning at the Family Bible Hour. 6 p.m. this evening, there is no meeting. Tuesday, I believe it's 6 p.m., is our New Year's Eve family night here at the chapel. We'll be having pizza and a movie, and you are asked to bring dessert. Also, you are asked to sign up. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer and a sign-up sheet downstairs. If you don't sign up, please contact at least Peg or Mary Parsons if you're not sure at this point if you're coming. But if you are coming, if you decide tomorrow to come, make sure you contact Peg or Mary Parsons. Later on in this week at 7:15 p.m. here at the chapel will be our first prayer meeting of the new year, and that will be an all-prayer meeting here at the chapel at 7:15. Looking further on into the month of January, there are new bulletins in the foyer. Please take one, and you can see the activities there. I'll just mention a few. Ladies missionary classes will be meeting on January 14th and 28th. There's a men and boys prayer breakfast January 11th at 8 a.m. at the chapel. January 25th, Winter Assembly Conference down at Silverton. Chris Schroeder will be the speaker. And our annual meeting and church luncheon for the general business meeting will be Sunday, February 2nd. On our prayer list, let's remember to pray for Joy, Ken and Elaine Pate, Dr. and Mrs. Locke, Farida Neshawat, Ann Mackey, Gail Shengren, Jim Cagliostro is, I believe, today on his way to the Cleveland Clinic for some testing to try and nail down what his problem is with his breathing. And let's remember Connie Goodwin also. Before we turn the meeting over to Diego, let's sing one more time hymn number 249, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Adore him, Christ
going to turn the rest of me into Diego.
Paul just said he's going to turn the rest of the meeting over to me, but I'm actually going to turn it around on him this morning. I asked Paul permission to do this, but this morning I wanted to announce that Paul and Miletus are officially engaged. Praise God. Very exciting news. Elizabeth and I had the privilege and a blessing to see that all come to play in action right before our very own eyes on the waterfront of Hoboken. So we're really excited for Paul and Miletus. So pray for them as they start this new journey of seeking the Lord together as one flesh, as it says in the scriptures in the book of Genesis. So I'm really excited for Paul. So praise God, Paul, congratulations. I'm very excited to be with all of you this morning. For the past month, we've been looking at different names of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is amazing to study scripture. It's really encouraging to look at the Word of God and to look at the many names that our Savior has. There aren't enough names to describe how great He is. Amen? Amen. There aren't enough names to describe how powerful He is. Amen? There aren't enough names to describe how loving, compassionate, merciful, glorious our Savior is. As we continue to study the Word of God, we see His majesty, we see His splendor, and it's truly exciting to do that. It's truly exciting to study the Word of God. We looked at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. We looked at Him as Mighty God. We looked at Him as Eternal Father. We looked at Him as many other names. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Him as the Prince of Peace. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. And earlier, we sang the song, Love Lifted Me. And I want to sing a song for all of you for the glory of God. It's called When Love Was Born. How many of you have heard that song by Mark Schultz? Such a powerful song. It's really brought a huge encouragement to me as I look at that. Let me grab my phone. I forgot the lyrics. So I'm really excited to sing this song so we can, you know, we as believers, you know, we celebrate Christmas, but we don't do it once a year. We remember that all the time. We reflect on that all the time. We just take advantage of this opportunity to share the love of Christ as people are thinking about those things on a consistent basis. You know, at Easter Seals, we did a Christmas concert at a couple of nursing homes, and my job let me do that. Even though it's a secular place, you know, they had no problems with us singing, Oh, Come All You Faithful. They didn't have problems with us singing Joy to the World. They didn't have problems with us singing Angels We Have Heard on High at a secular place. We're able to do that. So, but we as Christians, we acknowledge and celebrate this not just once a year, but all the time. But let's sing, maybe worship God and praise Him as we look at this song here for His glory. Starlight shines, the night is still. Shepherds watch from a hill. I close my eyes and see the night when love was born. Perfect child gently waits, a mother bends to kiss God's face. I close my eyes to see the night when love was born. Sky, and they sing Hallelujah, He is Christ our King. Thank you. you and me, heaven's gift, the holy spark to light the way inside our hearts. Bethlehem, through your small door came the hope we've waited for. The world was changed forevermore when love was born. I close my eyes to see the night when love was born. Pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning thanking you for who you are. Father, we are so excited to look in your word this morning. We are so excited, Father, that we can take part in the last Sunday message of 2019. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this privilege of sharing your word this morning with all here this morning, Father, as we continue to seek after you. Father, we pray and we acknowledge that it's only by your grace that we stand here before you. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity to look into your word. We pray, God, as we study this theme of Christ being the Prince of Peace, may we come out of this place encouraged, excited about the God that we worship, excited about the Savior that we serve, and excited about the one who holds the keys to death and life. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, Father, that you would just encourage our hearts, bring us closer to you as we come to a close for this year. May we grow closer to you in 2020. May we grow closer to you to serve you. And may we not take lightly who you are. May we not forget how great you are. May we not forget how glorious you are. Help us, Lord, to remember these things and to remember these truths. And we pray as we watch this video, Father God, and we hear the different names of Jesus. We hear this one church far away from here just scream out and shout out who you are, Father. We pray that we would rejoice with them because we worship the same Savior. You are Lord. As they say in the video, He is. And so, Father, we pray that we would be encouraged as we watch this video and as we go into your word and as we look into what the scripture teaches us about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we not stop there, Lord. May we continue to proclaim this peace that we have because of the Prince of Peace. We love you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So if we could turn to our Bibles to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. You heard right. I'm going to show you all a video in just a couple of moments. We're going to be looking at the book of Isaiah chapter 9. As mentioned earlier, for those of you who haven't been able to be here for this month, we've been looking at the different names of Christ that we see the prophet Isaiah prophesy about 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. We see here a great prophecy declaring the deity of Jesus, declaring his power. And I confess this morning that I love sharing this passage to Jehovah's Witnesses. I really love talking about this passage because it gives us a clear understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's not just this second God. He's not just this other being that's less than the Father. He is God. He is Jehovah. And so we're going to read this here together. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to go to verse 6, and we're going to read this together. And then I'm going to show you a video that really encouraged me, and it really just it was a huge eye-opener for me to really see who Jesus is. I think sometimes we tend to lose the value of who he is. We tend to lose the value of what he's done. And sometimes that reflects in our lives. Sometimes that reflects on how we serve him. Because if he truly is who we think he is, if we truly believe that he can save, then why aren't we sharing that message the way that we should be? A huge question that we can ask ourselves this morning. Is he becoming alive to you in your life? You know? So let's read this here together. These verses here, And then we're going to watch a video that kind of goes more into depth about the many names that Jesus has and who he is, the scripture. There's just so many different descriptions we can give our Savior Jesus Christ. It says here in Isaiah 9 verse 6, "For a child will be born to us." I just sang that song, "Love Was Born." "A son will be given to us." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor." Let's read that together. Let's say it all together. 1, 2, 3. "Wonderful Counselor." Say it nice and loud again. 1, 2, 3. "Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Eternal Father. Prince of Peace." I'm sorry, I'm going to have you do that again because I didn't hear anyone. We're going to do it again. Are you ready? Starting with Wonderful Counselor. Ready? "Wonderful." I want to hear you nice and loud. "Wonderful Counselor." Like you mean it. "Mighty God. Eternal Father. Prince of Peace." Praise God. This is the Savior that we worship. He is God. Jesus is the creator of all things. May we take to mind those truths. So I want to open up with this video, and then I'll pull this up, and we'll keep looking into more the theme of who Jesus is, the Prince of Peace. So let's look at this video.
God's nature never changes. He is, and he will always be. He is who he is. That's what his name Jehovah even means. It means I am. Yahweh means he is. He's God.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is.
He is.
He is.
He is.
He is.
Jesus.
He is Elohim, God, Judge, Creator.
Yahweh, Lord, Jehovah.
El Elyon, the Most High God.
Adonai, Lord, Master.
El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty.
El Olam, the Everlasting God, the God of Eternity, the God of the Universe, the God of Ancient Days.
He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide.
He is the Shiloh, the Peacemaker.
Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals.
Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, the Lord my miracle.
He is Kenah, jealous.
He is Jehovah Emkadosh, the Lord who sanctifies you, the Lord who makes holy.
He is a star.
A scepter out of Israel.
The cursed of God.
The captain of the host of the Lord.
Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace.
Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of powers.
The rock of my salvation.
My salvation.
He is the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds.
He is the day's moon.
The interpreter.
My rock and my redeemer.
He is crowned, the crown of pure gold.
The most blessed forever.
Forever.
He is the forsaken.
A worm and no man.
He is Jehovah Ra.
He is my restorer.
The King of glory.
He who sitteth king forever.
He is a stranger and an alien.
My strong rock.
My rock and my fortress.
Fairer than the children of men.
The rock that is higher than I.
The rock of my strength.
The rock of habitation.
He is as rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth.
The rock of my heart.
The shield.
The rock of my refuge.
The king and priest after the order of Melchizedek.
A brother born for adversity.
The friend that loveth at all times.
A stone of grace.
A friend that sticketh closer than the brother.
He is as ointment poured forth.
My well-beloved.
A bundle of myrrh.
A cluster of henna blooms.
The rose of Sharon.
He is the lily of the valley.
The lily of the valley.
The chiefest among 10,000.
His countenance is as Lebanon.
Yea, he is altogether lovely.
He is my beloved and my friend.
He is holy, holy, holy.
He's a sanctuary.
A great light.
A son given.
The mighty God.
The Father of eternity.
He is a child born.
The Prince of Peace.
An ensign of the people.
The nail fastened in a sure place.
A strength to the poor.
Strength. A strength to the needy in distress.
A shadow from the heat.
A refuge from the storm.
He is the rock of ages.
A crown of glory and beauty.
He is a stone.
A tried stone.
a covert from the tempest.
From the tempest.
He is as rivers of water in a dry place.
As the shadow of a great rock in a weary land.
As a hiding place from the wind.
He is
the king in his beauty.
My leader.
The everlasting.
The everlasting God.
He is mine elect, in whom my soul delighted.
He is a light of the Gentiles.
The covenant of the people.
The polished shaft.
Glorious.
He is the Holy One of Israel.
He is a man of sorrows.
Despised.
He is rejected.
He is stricken.
Smitten.
He is wounded.
Bruised.
He is oppressed.
He is my portion, my maker, my husband.
He's the God of the whole earth.
The witness to his people.
The leader.
The commander.
The redeemer.
He is mighty.
He is my physician.
Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness.
David, their king.
Their king.
My resting place.
My feeder.
The plant of renown.
Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there.
He is the prince of princes.
The Messiah.
The prince.
The strength of the children of Israel.
The hope of thy people.
The ruler.
He is king over all the earth.
He is a refiner's fire.
Fuller's soap.
My refiner.
My purifier.
Purifier.
Son of righteousness.
He is Jesus, Yeshua, salvation.
Emmanuel, God with us.
He is born as the King of the Jews.
He is a governor.
The Nazarene.
As the bridegroom.
He is meek, lowly.
He is the one of whom the Father says, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased.
The Son of the living God.
Jesus the Christ.
The Rock. The Builder.
The Prophet of Nazareth.
He is betrayed.
Mocked.
The Holy One of God.
My brother.
The carpenter.
And his life is a ransom.
He is the Son of the Blessed.
The Son of the Highest.
God my Savior.
The Horn of Salvation.
The Day Spring from on high.
A Savior which is Christ the Lord.
The Salvation of God.
He is the glory of thy people Israel.
Lord of the Sabbath.
My Healer.
The Christ of God.
My Servant.
The Chosen of God.
He is risen.
He is risen.
A Prophet mighty in deed and word.
He is the Word.
The Word that was with God.
The Word that was God.
The Light of men.
The True Light.
The Word that was made flesh.
He is the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father.
The Lamb of God.
My teacher.
The gift of God.
Gift of God.
He is Messiah.
The bread of God.
The bread of life.
He is my meat.
My drink.
The light of the world.
The door of the sheep.
The good shepherd that laid down his life.
The scent of the Father.
He is the resurrection.
The king of the daughter of Zion.
The corn of wheat.
He is the light.
My Lord, Master.
My example.
He is the way.
The truth.
The life.
The vine.
Scourged.
Crowned with a crown of thorns.
Crucified as the King of the Jews.
He is exalted.
Glorified.
The Holy One and the Just.
The Prince of Life.
The Anointed.
The Prince and a Savior.
He is Lord Jesus.
He is Lord of all.
The Judge.
Jesus of Nazareth.
The Mercy Seat.
Jesus Christ our Lord.
He is the firstborn among many brethren.
Over all, God bless forever.
Lord over all.
The Deliverer. Deliverer.
Lord both of the dead and living.
The Minister of the Circumcision.
He is my wisdom.
My righteousness.
My sanctification.
My redemption.
He is the foundation.
My Passover.
The spiritual rock.
The head of every man.
The first fruits of them that slept.
He is the last Adam.
The quickening spirit.
The image of God.
His unspeakable gift.
My peace.
He is the offering.
He is the sacrifice.
The head over all things to the church.
He is he that filleth all in all.
He is a servant
who humbled himself unto death, even death on a cross.
The Lord Jesus Christ,
the image of the invisible God,
the firstborn of every creature,
creator of all things,
the firstborn from the dead,
the head of the body, the church,
the head of all principalities and powers.
He is my all in all.
He is our
Lord Jesus Christ himself.
He is Lord of peace.
He is our Lord of hope.
He is God manifest in the flesh.
He is the justified,
the mediator,
the righteous judge,
the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
He's a being, and his throne is forever and ever.
And ever.
He is the upholder of all things,
the express image of his person,
the brightness of his glory.
He is Jesus Christ,
same yesterday, today, and forever.
The shepherd of the sheep,
the great shepherd that was brought again from the dead.
He is a minister of the sanctuary
and of the true tabernacle,
and his flesh is the veil which was wrapped in two.
He is the altar,
the offerer,
the forerunner
for us.
Entered even Jesus.
He is the priest,
the high priest,
the great high priest.
is
the Prince of the Kings of the Earth.
He is
the Almighty, which is, which was, which is to come.
He is
the beginning and the ending.
He is
the Alpha and Omega.
He is
the first and the last.
He is
He
that liveth.
He is
the Tree of Life.
He is
the hidden manna.
He is
the faithful and the true witness.
He is
the Amen.
He is
the beginning of the creation of God.
That comes from a guy named Eric Ludi and his church. I can't remember what state they're from, but I was so encouraged the first time I saw that. To be honest with you, the first time I saw that, I cried like crazy. I don't know if it filled your heart with joy. It just encouraged you to see who Jesus is. But for me, I was in the car, and I just sometimes like to put long videos just to hear sermons as I drive. I think many years ago, one of the Swaims came here, and he gave me a great idea. He was talking about the Word of God and just listen to audio Bibles. I love doing that when I drive up. I'll just put this dramatized versions of the Bible, and I'll hear it as I drive to work. I spend a lot of hours driving. I work for Easter Seals, so I'll probably spend like 5 hours driving a day. Well, Doug, you drive a lot too, and so does you, Daniel. You know, so well, you know, it's good to take advantage of technology, and you can hear things. But I apologize. I'm going to ask you to do something today that I feel bad doing this, but I want to do it for the sake of what I'm going to do this morning. Can I have everyone that's sitting on the wings, could you just come sit in the middle? Is that okay? I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But I have here, not only am I going to talk about Christ being the Prince of Peace, not only this morning do I want to share with you about Christ being the Prince of Peace, but this morning I want to show you how you can share that message as well. As many of you know, I love to share the gospel. I really enjoy sharing the good news of salvation to folks. And I'm always praying for opportunities to learn on how to share my faith. So this, can everyone see this here? This whiteboard here, yes? And so this morning, I'm going to show you a way that you can do it as well. So I'm going to kind of do a couple of things here this morning. Talk about Christ being the Prince of Peace, but also want to share with you how you can apply this with individuals in your daily walk of life. How many were you excited? Like, how many were you emotional when you saw that video? Am I the only one? Am I the only one excited for the Lord? Are we excited, guys? Come on. It's okay. We're just, because we get excited doesn't mean we're Pentecostals or we're charismatic, okay? We can show emotion. There's nothing wrong with it. I think our Pentecostal brethren do it very well. I love the way they show their passion for the Lord. We might not agree on all different things, but one of the things I do agree with them is their joy and their excitement to express that. You know, the services of God aren't funerals, right? They're celebrations. And so let's get excited to open the Word of God and to learn about the Scripture. So this morning I'm going to show you a little bit about how a new way that I learned how to share this. But before we do that, let's do a little bit of learning about the Prince of Peace. We did look at Isaiah chapter 9. We looked at verses 6 and 7. And I want you now to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Se pueden abrir sus Biblias a Efesios capítulo 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to be speaking a little Spanish today as well, so my sister in Christ, Milades, can be edified as well. So go to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to be reading here some scripture references here, also dealing with why Christ is the Prince of Peace. You know, He is the only one who is worthy of that title. No one else is worthy of that title. You know, Jesus lived the perfect life of peace. When you go to the Gospels, you see how he lived. You see how he ministered to others. You see the reactions that he had to certain situations in his life. You saw how he was completely demonstrating the perfect example of what it means to be a Prince of Peace. And he's the only one that can provide peace. You know, no one else can. How many war treaties have we signed over the past thousands of years in nations all over the place? And how many of those treaties have been broken? We think of Germany. We think of World War I. A treaty was signed. But that treaty was deceived and not followed through. But when it comes to the treaty that Christ signs, no one can take that treaty away. Amen? That treaty that's signed is for life. It can never be broken. It can never be taken away. And so this morning we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2 as well. If we can look at that portion of scripture. And we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 18 this morning. And I really encourage my heart to understand. When we look at these verses, Isaiah chapter 9 verses 6 to 7. And we read about this title given to Christ as the Prince of Peace. Why does he get that title? And I think it's important that we dig into that. And so Isaiah chapter 4, chapter 2, starting at verse 14 and 18. If we can read that together. And I'm really excited about it. Let's start in verse 11. Isaiah chapter 2, let's start at verse 11. Let's read this here together. It says here, "So then remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh." It's important for those of us who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ to remember what was our condition beforehand. "Called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, done by the hand in the flesh. And at that time you were without the Messiah, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, with no hope, without God in the world." How many of you remember what life was like when you didn't know Christ? It was horrible. It was hopeless. We were lost. We were empty, unsatisfied, broken. This is why we need to share the gospel. This is why we need to tell others, because now all of us have received, many of us have received Christ. I pray that all of us have done that here this morning. Now you have joy and hope and peace, and you're overwhelmed with God's love, and you understand what it means from passing from death to life. So let's keep reading here. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah. For he..." Here's the first part I want to talk about. "For he is our peace." Jesus is peace. Jesus is the originator of what peace is. Without Jesus, there's no peace. Here in the first part of the verse, it says, "For he is our peace, who made both groups one." And I love this portion of scripture here. It really excites me. It really gives us a great picture of what Christ did. It says here, "He tore down the dividing wall of hostility." How awesome is that? Is it awesome? Yes? He tore down that wall of hostility. And that wall of hostility is different for all of us. For many of us, that wall of hostility is the sin that we love. For many of us, that wall of hostility is thinking that we could never have God's grace in our lives. That was my problem before coming to Christ. I thought I was such a horrible person. I thought I never deserved God's love. That was my wall of hostility. And there's people in our communities today. There's people in our families. There's people everywhere where we go who still have that wall of hostility up. But we know who can tear it down. Amen? Jesus can tear it down. Amen? Are you excited about that? You can tell those people, hey, that wall of hostility, Christ can tear it apart. And he's the only one who can do that. Because he is the Prince of Peace, right? He can sign a war treaty that can never be broken. I love that thought. So it says here, "For he is our peace." So the first thought that I want to share, thinking about the Prince of Peace, the reason why he can be called the Prince of Peace, because he is peace himself. He is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. You know, it's so exciting when you think of Christianity. There's people that are from all types of life. You could be African American, Latino, you can be Indian, you can be Asian. It doesn't matter where you are. He brings unity. in his name. So it says here, he tore down that dividing wall of hostility. It says here in verse, in the next part of that verse, it says, in his flesh, he did away with the law of the commandments and regulations so that he might create himself one new man from the two. I want to stop here for a second. When you think about the world religions of today, what do they all have in common? Buddhism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholics, what other religions are out there? Throw them out there. Shout them out. What are some other religions that are out there? Mormon. Yeah, Mormonism, Sikhism. What else? Is there anything else out there? JWs. So many different types of religions out there. What do they all have in common? What do they all have in common? Why is there no peace in those religions? Because they believe that they have to earn their way to heaven. They have to believe they have to earn their way to heaven through works, through all sorts of things. If you study the Mormon Bible, you know, I want to encourage you to do it so you can build up your ability in apologetics. They changed Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. I don't know if you know that. But for we are saved by grace through faith, not of works that no man can boast, no one can boast. They changed that. They have to, instead of that, they add something to it. They say, after all that they can do. Once again, Jehovah's Witnesses is the same thing. Even the Catholic religion, my family, they still have services for my grandfather who died probably, how long has it been, Dad? It's probably been 13 years or more. They still hold services praying for his soul just in case he's in purgatory so he can get out. They have these meetings and they pray just in case. So not only do Catholics have to earn their way to heaven, they need help others to help them get there. But true Christianity, what we're learning here this morning about Jesus being the Prince of Peace, is that he has done it for us. The work is done. On the cross of Calvary, he said, it is what? Finished. It's been done. It's been taken care of. It says, he did away with the law of the commandments and regulations. We have all broken the law. We all know that. We've all lied. We've all murdered someone. You're probably going to say, oh, man, I've never murdered. But Jesus says, if you know your heart, you have hatred towards someone, the same as murder. We've committed adultery. Oh, no, I've never done that. Well, Jesus said, if you look at a woman or a man with lust, you've committed adultery already with them in your heart. So we failed the law. But Jesus came to fulfill the law, and he came to free us from that. So that he might create himself one new man from the two, resulting in what? What does it say there in that verse? Resulting in what? Are you following along in the scriptures there? What does it say? Peace. So not for in verse 14, it starts off saying, for he is our peace. And then it talks about why he is our peace, how he did it, what he did for us, and the results of what he did is peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross and put to hostility to death. Put to hostility to death by it. When Christ came, he proclaimed what? So not only is he peace, not only he provided the way for peace, resulting in peace. Now Jesus, it says here, he proclaimed the good news of peace to you who are far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both access by one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the cornerstone. There's no greater peace than to have that dependency only on him. We can't depend on each other. We can only depend on him, the one who is the originator of peace. Amen? Do you agree with me this morning? Are we together here? Jesus is peace. Jesus made peace. And Jesus also preached peace. He is the only source of peace. He is the perfect security of peace. And he spoke boldly of his perfect safety of peace to all people. The three S's: source, security, and safety. He is the source of peace. Only he can secure true peace, and he's the one that can provide perfect safety. Amen? That's exciting. I don't have to worry about this no more. How many of you have had feelings of worry in your life before? It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? I want to share a quick story with you this morning. I'm putting my wife on the spot here. I'm sorry, my love. I hope she doesn't get mad at me for doing this. But Many, when we lived in Venezuela, you know, my wife and I, we had our different jobs, and we took buses and you know, carritos and buses, whatever, to get home from work. And my wife, I knew the exact same time she would get home every day from the bus. I don't know if, Teresa, you take buses in Colombia. You know how that life is. So, you know, we're used to that. I used to take buses to work and everything like that. It's very normal for me. But I always had, like, a time frame when she got home. You know, it was either from this, like there was a 45-minute span where I knew she. And one day she didn't come home. And I was worrying so much. You have no idea. I was sweating. My eyes were red. I was just panicking because of the situation that we kind of live in Venezuela. You won't understand that unless you live there. But it's a very different environment than here. And I just remember having no peace. Like, having no peace is such a horrible thing. And I want to share with you some of the opposite words of what is peace. Opposite words of peace are this: war, conflict, agony, pain. I looked this up online on Google. You can do everything on Google these days. It's incredible. Suffering, distress, hatred, hate, anxiety, what I was going through that day. And she came, and you know what? You know what she did? She stopped at a store and she was looking at stuff. That's what she was doing. A store called Traki. Remember one? Traki. I was like, where were you? I was at Traki. I was like, oh my goodness, you got home like an hour and a half late. Oh my word, I was so worried. Worry is a horrible thing, you know? But, you know, we don't have to worry about our salvation. Isn't that awesome? That you don't have to worry about being truly saved. When you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, when you're saved by God's grace, it's forever. It's for good. Nothing can change that. No one can change those results. Here's some other opposites of the word peace. Disturbance. Christine has a lot of that on the plane, right? Disturbances and stuff. Chaos. Struggle. I don't know how you do it, Christine. If I was on a plane all the time, I'd be scared we're going to get in accidents all the time. I have so much respect for her. Struggle. Upset. Frustration. Anguish. Confusion. Disorder, fear. Here's another one that's really rough. Restlessness. Restlessness. I have a coworker that struggles to sleep. He just can't sleep. And the emotions that he would tell me he feels when he can't sleep is horrendous. My heart breaks for him, and I always try to encourage him to find new ways to rest. But restlessness, when you can't rest. But we can rest in Christ. Amen? We can rest in the perfect work of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Worry, that's one I already said. Anger, strife, and fight. There's so many more words that I found on Google. I won't read all of them because we'll be here for a while. But praise God that we can find peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let me read a couple more things. I know I only have a couple more minutes. And actually, this presentation, you can share in 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10. You can make your own. I'm going to show you how I do it, but in a minute. But Jesus backed up the title perfectly. In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, you know what the angel shouted in that reference? Paul read it this morning a little bit. He read some verses after it, but in verses 1 through 14, it mentions the angel shout out this word: glory in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. Another version says, goodwill toward men. Let's say that together. Glory in the highest and peace on earth to people he favors. The angels understood that the Prince of Peace finally arrived. That what Isaiah prophesied in chapter 9 was being put into play now here in action. And these angels were telling these shepherds, hey, the Prince of Peace that you guys have read about in Isaiah 9, he's here. He's been born. Love was born. Love is born. And he is providing peace to those he favors. The angels proclaimed about that Prince of Peace. Jesus is the King of Peace. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter, I want to read just a couple more verses. Can someone stand up and read those verses for me? And then can someone also find 2 Thessalonians 3, chapter 3? Chris, can you find 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and read verse 16? Chris, can you read that? Ian, can you read Hebrews chapter 7, verses 2 to 3? Let's read those two verses real quick. I'll share a couple more thoughts, and I'll do the presentation for you really quickly. But yeah, Ian, you want to start off with that, brother? Read it nice and loud. He's got a great voice. So say it to us, brother.
Hebrews chapter 7, verses 4 through...
Verses 2 to 3.
2 to 3. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, being without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually.
Amen. Preach it, brother. Amen. King of peace. King. He has no beginning. He's God. Right? Amen? So let's... all right, Chris. Your turn, brother. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Nice and loud.
Now may the Lord Jesus himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord will be with you and all of you.
One more time, Chris. Read that one more time, nice and loud.
Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord will be with all of you.
So in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 2 to 3, Jesus is called the King of Peace. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, he is called the Lord of Peace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, it says that Jesus is the originator of peace. It is the one who provides perfect peace, resulting in peace, and he's the one who preaches this peace. So in Luke, and Jesus backed up this title perfectly. He lived out the life. I'm just going to go through this. We don't have time to look at this, but Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness. He remained calm, right? The enemy thought that he could win, but he couldn't. He tried to tempt Jesus, but Jesus rebuked him and showed his true power, right? He remained calm. You know, Jesus restores peace in any storm of life, amen? In any storm of life, Jesus provides peace. You read about that in Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25, when Jesus was on the boat. I love that song. When Jesus on the boat, he can light the storm. I love the song that Joey sings. I wish Joey was here. I would have him come up and sing it. But Jesus provides that peace in any storm of life. He provides perfect peace. The power of Jesus' peace will destroy any demonic force. In Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 38, we read about a demon-possessed man by the name of Legion. And when you hear that word legion, it means thousands and thousands. The Romans used to use that word to talk about their thousands and thousands of soldiers. So in this one man, there was so many demons that possessed his body. But yet when they saw Jesus, they saw the power that he brings. You know, they submitted right away. Jesus is powerful. Jesus remained calm at his arrest. You know, he was calm. You know, Peter was getting all out of shape. He got that knife, he cut the ear of that one soldier, and the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked him, and he got arrested peacefully. Jesus didn't open his mouth when Pilate was accusing him. When Pilate was there, do you know what you did? He was giving him the lecture, and Jesus didn't open his mouth. In Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 12, you don't have to turn there. It talks about how he didn't open his mouth. And it also says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The chastisement. So the reason why we can have peace is because Jesus did it for us. He had to go through that horrible, horrible death and sacrifice of his life for us. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And then we'll close with 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 21 in a moment after we do the presentation. But I want to do it here. You ready? All right, let's do this. All right, can everyone see it? So this is called the three circles illustration. The three circles illustration. You can get a white piece of paper. You could even download the app. I'll tell you about, there's an app that you can download that gives you the three circles. I'm being mentored by this one pastor, and I'm doing a study called the Timothy Initiative book. It's an incredible book, and it's teaching me more about discipleship, more about making disciples and praying about disciple making, right? But before we can even disciple someone, they have to come to Christ, right? That's the first step. You need to know how to share the gospel. And the gospel isn't just for evangelists. It's for all of us as believers. We all need to be sharing the gospel. So, without further ado, talking about peace, in Genesis chapter 1, what does the first verse say? What does Genesis 1:1 say? Someone shout it out. In the beginning, God created what? So in the beginning, right, things were perfect. God's perfect design. That's the first circle that we're going to be looking at. All right? God had a perfect design. And unfortunately, as you're talking to someone, you can make this your own. There's not really like a one way to do it. This is kind of like the Diego version. But you can create the Chris version or the Teresa version or the Brooks version. It's fine. You can put any kind of spin to it that you want. But, so in the beginning, as you're sharing this with someone, you know, the first circle, it symbolizes God's perfect design. And what happened to God's perfect design in Genesis chapter 1? Something happened, right? God's design was disrupted by what? By sin. Amen. God's perfect design was disrupted by sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And because of that sin, now it created a broken world. Brokenness. And I'm not the greatest artist, so, you know, have mercy on me. But let's say this world here now, it's broken, right? It's shattered. It's like a glass, and it's like there's a crack in there now, right? It's broken. And you could put broken world. Now it's broken. It's a broken world. There's brokenness, okay? There's brokenness now. Because of the problem of sin, now we have a broken world. So, but tell the person, hey, don't worry about it. You know, I know that might be hard to accept, but there's something good that I'm going to share with you in a moment, okay? So sometimes I'll draw a person, and he's like crying or he's sad, you know, and I'll talk about that more in a minute. But a lot of people in our society today, some of them don't want to accept that they're in a broken world, or some people try to find peace through other means. So, here's the squiggly line part. Okay? And like I said, you could do this. I did this here on a piece of paper. See that? I did everything here on a piece of paper. And what are some ways that people try to fill that void of having not peace in their life? Some people think that fame. They think fame is the answer, right? Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll. The guy had everything in life. Money, possessions. But was the guy happy? No. Same thing with Michael Jackson. But a lot of people think fame is the answer to their problems of peace. A lot of people think religion. And these are some things that I put. You can put other things. A lot of people think materials. Right? Some people think good health. Some people think drugs. And the list goes on and on and on. And you can put anything there. But Jesus provided a way to have peace that is everlasting. He provides the door. And then you draw another line here. Here's the third circle. Remember I told you three circles? All right? Jesus provided a way out. None of these things are enough. None of these things are enough to fill that void. But there is one that can fill that void, and that is Jesus. So I write here, I write Jesus right there. I write put the cross. I say Jesus went to the cross. He died on the cross for you. I put an arrow there. He died on the cross, and he rose again on the third day. Jesus rose. And all you have to do to have peace is turn. Turn from your sin. You know, a lot of people don't understand the word repentance, but you can use the word turn. Turn from your sin, right? And believe. Turn and believe. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, "I'm the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Turn and believe in Jesus Christ, and he will save you. And you can share all sorts of verses about that. There's a verse I love to share, Matthew 11:28. It says here, "Come to me, all you are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus wants you to turn from him. He provides the way out. Here's the door. He died on the cross. He rose again on the third day. And when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, that relationship that was disrupted because of, what does it say there? Because of sin, now it can be restored. It can be restored. There's good news. The gospel means good news. Jesus went to the cross and died for you. And now you can be restored because of what he did on the cross of Calvary. And so here you see another person, right? And he has his hands up in the air. He has a huge smile. He's a child of God. God made him who knew no sin. What does it say? To become what? So that we might become the righteousness of God, right? A person who is saved has become the righteousness of God. They're a new creation, a new person. You know, the old has passed away. All things have become new. Right? The book of Corinthians teaches that. So they've been restored, but does it stop there? So not only are you sharing the gospel with the person, you're telling them about Jesus. And I think a lot of times we make this mistake when we're sharing the gospel. You know, we need to ask them the question, which one are you? Are you this person in brokenness? Or are you the person that has trusted in Christ? Which one are you? You ask them that open-ended question. Have them answer that question. And you, based on how they answer, sometimes they can ask some other questions. You never know where it's going to go. But we can't always have a track with us, right? But you could always find a piece of paper, a pen, or you could even do it on your phone. All right? But it doesn't stop there. Jesus wants us to what? What does that word say? Go, right? Now that we've been restored, if we made a decision to be here and be forgiven, God wants us to go. He wants us to go and tell others this message. And that's what we've been called to do. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Go and make disciples of what? Of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, God has called us to go. So, that's the three circle illustration. And I want to share a closing quote by Dwight L. Moody. A great many people are trying to make peace. Let me read it one more time. It says here by Dwight L. Moody. A great many people are trying to make peace, but that has already been done. God has not left it for us to do. All we have to do is to enter into it. Just receive Him. Tell people to go and walk and understand who He is. So thank you. Praise God. I hope that's an encouragement to all of you this morning. And may 2020 be the year that not only we learn about the Prince of Peace, but that we share and proclaim why He is the Prince of Peace and why He is worthy of that title. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this morning. We thank You, Lord, for this opportunity You've given us to learn more about Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so grateful, Lord, for the gospel. We are so grateful that salvation has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Jesus. It has everything to do with what He did on the cross at Calvary. And Father, may we with joy proclaim this message. Lord, it doesn't matter where we are. We can be in Colombia where Teresa lives and she can share this in Spanish. Mr. Stedmore can share this in Patois to his Jamaican friends. We can talk about this message of hope to any people of any country. Lord, help us not to be selfish with this message. We rejoice in reading Isaiah 9:6. We love hearing the Christmas story, but at times it just stops there. We don't do anything with that. We don't serve You. We don't do things for You. Father, forgive us. I confess, Lord, that I've fallen short of that. We've all done it. No one here is innocent of that. We've all done it, Lord, and we pray that You would help us to be more faithful in becoming disciple makers, not just making disciples, but making disciples that make more disciples and those disciples that continue to make more disciples. So, Father, we thank You again for what You're teaching us every day. May You continue to work in our hearts and teach us what it means to be a follower of Yours and that we can proclaim Christ, the one who is the originator of peace, the one who provides peace, and the one who tore down that wall of hostility to provide the ministry of reconciliation that we learn about in the book of Corinthians. So, Lord, we love You, we thank You, and we praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If we could just sing that one verse, I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back.